All participants, this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you.
Why don't we just run through the roll call and everything, Glenn? I think that's the easiest way to do this.
I'll check for you, Maggie. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the vertical integration call on the 18th of October. And on the call, we have Mikey O'Connor, Samu Tetsami, Bodwan Shombi, Sebastian Bachelot, Roberto Gaetano, Christina Rosette, Paul Diaz, Ron Andruff, Nelson Frakes, Alan Greenberg, and Catherine Ulmer. And for staff, we have Liz Gasper, Margie Milam, and myself, Linda Saint-Gerie. And may I just remind everyone to say their name before speaking for the transcription and the recording. Over to you, Mike. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Glenn.
So we have apologies from Cheryl Langdonor, Avery Doria, Barry Cobb, and Phil Buckingham. Now it's over to you. Thank you, Mikey.
Okay. And in keeping with the new rules, we're going to mostly be talking about compliance today as it affects our report. So just a quick pause to let people update us if there are any changes to their SOI or their DOI. And with that, what's up on the screen is the comments. And if you run down to about page 14, you'll find the comments about compliance. And the thought that I had in the agenda that I pushed out to the list last Friday was that we would talk about these since they are they apply to the principles in the report rather than the proposals. I think the proposal comments basically are, we will tend to head right back into the same logjam that we were in when we wrote the interim report. The thought was to see if these comments about the principles, compliance, SRSU, exceptions, et cetera, might move the ball forward a little bit, although I think we've got a problem in that we're so far below a quorum that I'm not sure. I guess I need a ruling from folks who know the process better, like Margie and Liz. Can we even proceed with this light a turnout? Because this is really light. You know, basically we're down below 20% of the working group at this point.
Mikey, it's Margie. I think we can proceed. I guess the question is that, you know, to the extent we identify things that we're reaching consensus on, we need to probably circulate it to the list and take confirmation next week on it. But I don't think it's all that we can't do work.
Okay. Yeah, I think we qualify as a super minority.
Yeah, we qualify as the diehards, that's for sure. And I think that's the, you know, I hesitate to bring it up again, but a number of us met in Washington, D.C. last week and heard from Kurt and from Steve Crocker about the board meeting, and Christina was there too. And one thing that we heard pretty loud and clear is that the board has taken this decision back. And I'm not terribly convinced that the work that we do has any effect. But I'm willing to give it a try. I think that the thing I will do today is keep an eye out for things becoming a surrogate for the larger disagreements, and if they do, I think I'll cut them off because, you know, we've fought this battle so long that I'm not sure that we can actually move forward much from where we are now. Jonathan, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. Was it an indication that what we're doing from here on out is moot and that the board has it? Did you get any sense that they'll take into consideration what was presented to them?
Well, a bunch of us were on there. I forgot that Ron was there as well. You know, many of the people on the call were also in that meeting, and so feel free to chime in, folks. But the sense that I got was that the board took the, you know, the intent of their resolution was to take the decision back and make it themselves, and that, you know, they have our report. That clearly they would use that as an input to their decision. But I did not get a sense that they were looking for any more from us. Ron, Christina?
I would revise that only to say I don't think they're looking for anything more from us for the first round.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good revision. I agree with that. Ron, is that sort of your take, too, when you were there?
Yeah, I would say so, Mikey. The sense that I got when I heard Steve speak was that, you know, there was a wish that we had come back with more concrete work results for them to deal with. But they recognized the difficulty that we went through, and now the monkey is on their back. And I agree with Christina. It's a first-round issue that they're going to deal with right now. I don't think this is for the longer term, but certainly for the first year, first round, and then we'll probably have to look at it again to see what happens in the coming rounds.
Yes.
But there was a question about SRSU that came up, and it came under the context of compliance. So if you don't mind, Mike, I just throw that into the works here.
Sure, go ahead.
That had to do with the fact that at one point there was some discussion about compliance and where do we stand with the new compliance officer to manage all of this. And Kurt mentioned that it wasn't just a new compliance officer, in fact, that there were two or three job openings in that space. And that while they were looking for the top officer, they were also looking for a couple of junior people to be working on the particularly the new round of top-level domain applications. So one of the comments that he made, Kurt, one of the comments that Kurt made that caught me by surprise was the fact he said, well, you know, if he's talking about compliance and you're talking about a company having an ability to be a brand on the Internet, how would we with compliance ever be able to make sure that they are compliant with the things they need to do? For example, would we ask for a list of all employees so we can check to see that, in fact, if they'd given out an email, if given out a TLD to someone or given out a domain to someone, would, in fact, that domain belong to an employee or not? So that was an interesting insight, I think, into staff's view that SRSU might be a tricky one to deal with from a compliance perspective.
And Christina, you were there too, and I think actually part of that discussion was during the conversation that we had about strings and brands and stuff. What was your take on that part of the meeting?
I'm just trying to. I don't have my notes in front of me, so I'm just kind of digging.
Yeah,
that.
Well, I didn't mean to put
my recollection. I got the sense that they would certainly, I mean, it's definitely something that they are concerned about, but that if there would be a proposal from that community of potential applicants, to the extent that there is one, that they would certainly find that helpful. In other words, if there was any kind of, you know, proposal saying, in order to qualify for an SRSU, or to maintain eligibility for it, this is the information that would have to be provided to compliance on a, you know, quarterly basis, or, you know, I guess you could tie it to the registry reports. So, I mean, I certainly agree with Ron's point, but I didn't really view it as a kind of that's the end of the discussion.
Do you have the sense that it's something that they're really looking to the applicant community more for that proposal rather than us?
I actually took it to mean that he was looking for the IPC to come up with something. so I would say choice C, none of the above.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that it couldn't come from us. I don't know that it necessarily has to. I mean, if it was something that came from some other segment of the ICANN community and it was something that, the working group was willing to support or found acceptable or said, you know, subject to changes 1, 2, 3, blah, 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 I think that would be perfectly fine.
Alan, you've been patient. Feel free to chime right in.
Yeah, the sense I've gotten from talking to a number of board members is that, yes, the monkey is on their back, to use your expression. Any advice that can come from a knowledgeable group, whether it's from this group or the IPC or whatever, that may help them craft something which will be viable and not be full of holes, puts them in a stronger position. So whether it's advice on how do we what are the guidelines for SRSU, or a clear statement on that community TLDs may need some sort of ability to sell their own domains or whatever it is. If any group can come to consensus and provide it, they of course will factor in whether it's coming from us as a consensus or one particular vested interest, but it's a difficult problem, and if there's something that can be done to make their life easier and more certain of working, I don't think they're going to reject it.
Thanks, Alan. Ken, go ahead.
Thanks, Mike. I'm going to take my hand down because Ron answered my question in the chat. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess where I'm coming from on this. Oh, Christina, are you back in the queue again?
I mean, I am, and I don't want to change the subject. I guess I'm looking at this from a bigger picture. I have now asked ICANN staff twice, point blank. When are we going to have a new compliance director? When are we going to have new staff? And I can't get a definitive answer. To the best of my knowledge, there has been no date certain set by which somebody has to be hired, which means could be this year, could be next year. I'm just wondering whether it would be a better use of our time as a group that unless and until there actually is some information to suggest that a director of compliance is going to be hired in the near future or has been hired, that maybe our time is better spent working on one of the other three principles.
Yeah, I mean, where I'm headed is I'm not sure that our time is well spent working on anything. I think that effectively we're done, and we got told that one more time last week in D.C., and that we ought to just wrap it up. But I'm perfectly willing to keep plugging away. But, we're getting to the point where the working group is voting with its feet. We're down to a diehard, hardcore crowd that I appreciate a lot, but I'm not sure that we're really functioning as a working group anymore. We're almost functioning more like pallbearers, and that it might be better to just acknowledge the situation and call it a day. But I don't want to make that choice for you. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on the question earlier of how is compliance supposed to find, examples of an SRSU TLD that gives out domains to the wrong people. I think we've said from the beginning that compliance partly has to be set of with good rules and good disclosure, and then some of the things are not going to be discovered by compliance. It's going to be an issue of whistleblowers or third parties reporting perceived problems, and that's a fine part of compliance. I don't think compliance has to have a plan to detect everything themselves, just an understanding of what is allowed and what is not. And then good disclosure on the part of the TLD.
Uh, Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to put myself in the shoes of the ICANN directors for the moment. I'd be hard-pressed to do anything creative in terms of expanding the new TLDs without any clear path as to how the staff plans on managing compliance. I think that would border on being almost irresponsible as a director to, you know, to get very creative there. And frankly, I'll be honest with you, I don't really think ICANN even has a clue yet as to how they want to manage compliance in the future. They have been shaken up so much in the last few months with staff changes and with everything going on that I think they've lost, you know, I'm sorry, this is just my, I'm speaking solely as an individual. I don't want anybody attributing this any other place. And that is, I honestly think that they need to sit down and develop a clear roadmap, and they need to develop some confidence by the community in their ability to deal with these issues moving forward. Because right now, the perception is, you know, hamsters running around in a cage without any, it's just, it's sad. It really is. Because, I mean, you're talking about an organization that has a budget well in excess of $50 million. And I'm still trying to figure out what in God's green earth they have been doing with this issue, which is the one thread that weaves through everything. You know, even, and I'm sure, Alan, everybody's had talks with directors, Christine, in the same situation. It's not like the directors aren't aware of it. Now, Margie's commenting on hamsters, just saying that they're scurrying all over the place. With it's kind of like saddling up and riding off in all directions. So, you know, and that's not a reflection on the staff, but rather a reflection on the people who have the responsibility to provide the roadmaps for the staff and the plans for the staff to use as they move forward in implementation. Yeah.
Okay, Roberto, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm also typing something at the same time, a message that that I would like to send to the list. I think that we are now in this situation. The board would have liked to have a consensus position, so that would have been more comfortable for them to come to a decision. This is not the case, so they have realized that now they have to make a decision of their own. However, there's still, in my opinion, the work of the working group has not been irrelevant in the sense that it will be considered and used all that material in order to make a decision. That's the first point. The second point, there's not much more that we can do. I interpret the lack of participation in this telephone call as another step in the trend that we have had, that after having the peak this summer has slowly indicated a lower interest, lower participation, and in fact that is justified by the fact that the feeling that is pretty widespread, in my opinion, is that we cannot achieve within reasonably short amount of time much more than what we have done with the interim report for phase one. This said, I think that we need to have some sort of conclusion. So I was typing down a few points that I think that are coming up from the working group, and also This weekend, I've read through again our material and also the comments, and I think that there's a picture that comes out that is pretty strikingly clear. That first of all, the issue of compliance, as we have been discussing and is already acknowledged. So everybody is agrees on the fact that compliance is necessary. Otherwise, there's no point in setting rules if we cannot enforce them. And that was a result that we had already in Brussels. Second, there's no consensus either on vertical separation or on vertical integration, and there's no way we can get a consensus along these lines or along the percentages of ownership, cross-ownership, or these kind of things. However, there is the consideration that in certain cases, it can be cultural TLDs, it can be brand TLDs, I don't want to say single registrant, single user, because that evokes dissensus. But there are some cases in which the vertical separation is more harmful than useful, and vertical integration should be permitted. At this point in time, I don't think that we have identified all the possible cases, and we have not identified the precise set of rules, safeguards against gaming, and so on. But this is a message that I think that we can give. That was embedded in our report, but I wonder whether this is something that we could. If there is a half a page or something that we can circulate and get a sort of consensus in order to get the closure along these lines. And clearly say that at this point in time there's not much more that we can do, and open the discussion on a phase two if we think that, if the council will think that it could be useful that we continue working. But at that point, by making clear what the new charter is, and so on and so forth. That's basically it from my part.
And this is why I love MP3 recordings, because I think actually that statement we could extract a half page from that, pretty much verbatim, with just minor editing. I think that's precisely where we're at. And the fact that the diehards are still on the call is you know, to be commended. But I think that's really where we're at. I don't think that we can get much deeper into most of those issues, because partly some of the points that Ken is raising, we don't really know the framework in many cases, and in other respects, if we get too much deeper, we almost invariably trigger a landmine around which we don't have consensus. But I think at the level that you described it, Roberto, we do. Or at least very close to it. And that probably what we ought to do is I'd be happy to listen to the MP3 when it comes back and sort of take a stab at a draft around that framework and circulate it to the list, and then use that as the cover memo to wrap this one up and essentially advocate that we turn the interim report into a final report without changes. I really think that almost every discussion of the comments becomes a surrogate for the underlying disagreement in the group, and that all we do is replay the bidding that we've already been through without really standing much of a chance at all of actually moving the ball forward from where we got in the interim report. So I'd take that as a proposal and throw that out to the rest of you and see if there's any sort of vehement disagreement. And if not, then I think what I ought to do is listen to the MP3 and write that up and get it on the list. And we should try and agree to that next time and wrap it up. Rip, you know, phase one. Throw it back to the council for consideration about phase two and charter and all that stuff. Alan?
I have no objection doing what Roberto, trying to write up what Roberto said. I think that would be a good way forward. I'm getting a little confused, though. Every second meeting we have, we seem to be going in a different direction.
Yeah, we keep getting new information, Alan. I mean, you know, one of the things that happened last week was the conversation with Steve Crocker and Kirk Prince in Washington. And for me, that really drove home an earlier position that I had, which was this one's done. We should quit beating this dead horse, quit dragging this working group through this pain over and over again. And that was a position I held a couple of weeks ago. I got talked out of it on a call. But I'm back there.
Well, as I said last time, that's a fine decision. It should be taken by the group.
Right. And so
I believe we are effectively saying if we do that, this will not restart with a separate phase two. I just can't find that scenario in something that will likely unfold in the near future. And as I said, it's a fine decision for the group to make, but I think it should be made in some level of consensus.
Well, I think it has to go to the list. I mean, this group can't come to consensus on the time of day, never mind a decision like that. So at some point, we either frame it as a negative and then say, well, we couldn't come to consensus on the negative, and so that's the way forward. Or we simply acknowledge the fact that we're done. I mean, this is one of the problems with consensus decision-making that we've documented now over the last four or five calls. And, I think it's time to use a colloquial expression, put a bullet in it, and call it a day. Ken and then Margie.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put Margie in the queue ahead of me, and then I'll comment, please.
Okay. Margie, go ahead.
Sure. I think, and this is just an observation, what you said, Mikey, and what Roberto said seem to be two different things. And what you said, Mikey, was basically turn the revised initial report into the final report and be done with it. But what I thought Roberto said was to look at the principles that were in the revised report and see whether there is consensus on it. And so the final report would be different than the revised report, because it would say, instead of saying, you know, we are moving towards consensus on these principles, it would actually say, we have consensus on these principles, whatever they are, you know, the few items that we are able to achieve consensus on. And then at least there's something the board, you know, could conceivably look at, even though it may not necessarily affect the model they choose, but it'll, you know, have some, we would hope, would have some influence on how they structure the first round. And so I just thought different. I heard two different approaches, and I just wanted to clarify that.
We'll get to that in a second. Now, Ken Stern.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to respond to what Margie said. Can you hear me all right, Mike?
Yeah.
No. I want to respond to what Margie said. I would be very concerned about a situation like that, because there could be reading between the lines. Also, going back and trying to decide what principles we had consensus on could probably be a unique experience to begin with. I think we're really at a point in time. I have to agree with your interpretation, Mike. I think we're really at a point in time where we need to make it clear that we've gone essentially as far as we can go. And I don't think that it's necessary for us to try to create something for the board out of some sort of a cloth that's been pretty well traveled on, tromped on over the last, let's say, 8 to 10 weeks. I understand what you're trying to say, but I think if we could have done that earlier, we would have. It sounds almost like a, I won't say a desperation move to try to craft something here, and I just don't frankly think it will work. And the reason I put the note, quick poll, please, is you have 10, 12 people on the call. It might be an idea to find out how the 10 people feel. You can use check marks or X's at least to find out whether or not people agree with the approach that you're proposing. And I see Roberto's on after me, so maybe I can get more clarification by what from what he specifically was talking about there. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Ken. Roberto, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to clarify the issue of the principles. Yes, Margie is correct. I'm still thinking in terms of exploring whether we have a consensus on some of the principles. However, as I said, I went through the whole material over this last weekend, and to be honest, besides the few points, so the fact that we have that we need compliance, the recommendation that we have compliance in place to enforce the rules, the fact that we acknowledge that we need to have a specific different treatment for small niche TLDs, cultural communities, or brands. Besides that, I don't think that there's much on which we it's reasonable to achieve consensus within a reasonable time. So I think that yes, in principle, I would love to have a discussion on the principles, but sorry for the pun, but I don't think that besides those 2-3 points that I have listed, there's much more we can achieve. For sure, there is no proposal that is that has any chance to get any substantial majority. The situation is such that opinions are so diversified that we have to acknowledge that that the points that on which we can have a consensus are very limited, and so we list them in a bullet point list, and it won't go over half a page.
Yeah, and I think that even some of the points that you listed, Roberto, we don't have consensus on. You know, when we get down into the exceptions, I think the point of consensus within the group is that some exceptions are probably needed, but when you get to the types of exceptions, SRSU, brand, niche, community, whatever, I floated a paragraph like that on the list several weeks ago and got shot out of the saddle pretty good. So I think even getting below that super broad level, it's very difficult to imagine consensus at this stage. And I think we just need to wrap it up, get that very short statement done, and, you know, I'm happy to take a crack at a draft and push it back and forth with Roberto a couple of times and then push it out to the list, but not much beyond that.
Yeah, Mikey, what I'm saying is that I'm aware that if we get into the single registrant, single user issue, we are not having consensus. But I think that the group is open on the fact that there can be exceptions to mitigate the harm of a full separation. So I think that on the principles that we'll have exceptions, I think that we can have consensus. The problem is that we don't have consensus if we try to detail in too much detail the cases, then we are going to spend months and we are not getting consensus. But we need to convey to the board the message that, we acknowledge that there's the status quo is the vertical separation. However, we invite the board to consider that in specific cases there's going to be benefit, for instance, for brands, for small community TLDs, niche, and so on and so forth. It could be considered to have to allow vertical integration with a set of rules that the board has to set, and provided that then we have a strong compliance to enforce these rules and to dissuade gaming.
I think that's right. I think that's precisely it. And the only caution that I would have is I'm not sure that I'd even delineate the examples of the exceptions, because I think as soon as that goes into the sentence, it draws fire from the group. That it implies an endorsement of each and every one of those, and that we don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, rather than interrupt you there, I was going to say that's where the concern about reading between the lines comes. I'm concerned that the board may be so desperate for direction that there could be some very creative interpretation of what we say, and somehow it could get twisted into some sort of a consensus that we give the board direction. So I just think we have to be very, very careful at this point in time. In talking to board members, that's what I hear. You know, I'm said they're not at this point in time. There were quite a few that were just not ready to make a decision, but rather we're looking for direction. And I don't know how they're going to work it out amongst themselves at this point in time, but I think they have to realize that, like it or not, the ball's back in their court. And it doesn't mean that the community failed. It means that the community was unable to deal with the issue in a manner which allowed them to come to consensus, primarily because of the differing business models and business motivations, or eleemosynary motivations that were involved in this process up until now.
Yeah, and to the point of the, I mean, Christina, Ron, all of you who were at that meeting, I mean, it was pretty clear, at least to me, in the conversation we had last Monday or Tuesday in D.C., that, you know, the board knows that it's taking the decision back. They did that consciously. So they're not doing it by accident. They really intended to send a clear date and a deadline that was pretty aggressive and then take the decision back. So, it's true they're not happy about it. But nobody's happy about this one. I think that where we're at is, let's hang it up for today. Let me take a stab with Roberto at coming up with that half page. Margie, to your point, I don't think we dive deep into the initial report. I think we essentially leave it as it is, because we labored so hard on that report that to change even single words strikes fear into my heart. What I'd rather do is transmogrify it into a final report and put a cover memo, a letter of transmittal on the front. That's the document that we're working on right now, and leave it be. Because I think opening up the report for further discussion and slash analysis opens us up to the point that Roberto made, which is we could go months and not get any further along. Ken, is that a new hand or an old one? Can't tell.
Mikey, this is Scott Austin. Just want to let you know I made it on and finally moved over.
Welcome to the game.
Wanted to check in. Thanks.
Yeah, Mike, we don't have a precedent that allows for motions in these meetings, but I'll make it in the form of a motion.
Ken, before you do that, we need to get you on a phone that's not breaking up quite so bad. It's as though you've
I'll
got
do
your
that,
old
Mike.
Phone back.
I'll call back.
Okay. I think that now we're having a discussion about sort of the next phase in the chat between Jonathan and others. I guess Barry was talking about it at the last time. I think that in this draft, we also talk about phase two, and we point out that we haven't fulfilled the charter that was originally laid out for us, and we stand ready to do that, but that it needs to go back to the council for affirmation that this is the way to proceed. Christina, I don't know if that was a rhetorical question, but the answer is no, we haven't done quite a number of the things that are in our charter because it got preempted by this phase one panic attack that we zipped off on. So there's quite a lot of analysis called for. There are a whole list of things that have not been done. And to Alan's point that the odds of it restarting are very slim, I'm not sure I buy that. I think that that's not necessarily the way things will go on the council. I'm not on the council, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that it's over. I just think that we need to wrap up phase one. And
Mikey, I didn't say it's a certainty. I gave my opinion.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we need to throw it back to them. And again, I would propose that we work that into that draft that Roberto and I come up with and hammer it out on the list and then take it up again on the next call. Margie, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Mikey, I really have a problem with the approach of doing a transmittal letter. We're in a PDP, and the way we deal with PDPs is issuing a report, a final report. If it turns out that we don't have consensus, fine. I don't have an issue with that. But a transmittal letter to me, like we're doing something that's not really contemplated. So, and then the other thing, which is the thing I know the group hasn't wanted to address, process is to evaluate the public comments and determine whether it affects our, or the group's consensus levels. And so at a minimum, the final report needs to include the summary of the public comments and any statement, even if it's a blanket statement that, the group's unable to reach consensus, appreciates the comments, just something, to address the transparency and the accountability, because a lot of people spent a lot of time putting in comments on vertical integration, and at a minimum we need to find some way to address it. So I know it's not a popular statement that I'm making, but that's the reality of the PDP process, and somehow that needs to be done. And then just to address Christina's point, there's a lot of things that the charter initially covered that I don't know if you recall, but the PDP was meant to address not just this not new TLDs, but existing ones as well. That is what the creditor specifies. And so to the extent that, you want to look at the broader, not just new GTLDs, but the existing ones, that is what's within the charter, and there's a lot of work there that needs to be done, or a recommendation back to the council that the charter needs if that work is going to be done. So I'm just, you know, unfortunately, that's the way the PDP group was set up, and we do have a fair amount of additional work to do that's beyond the first phase of the new GTLD program.
Ken's back on the line, so let me let Ken chime in, and then I'll respond to that, Margie. Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I respect Margie's desire to try to stay in a specific process as outlined in the bylaws or outlined in ICANN's mandate for the GNSO. So I think maybe what we have to try to do is let Margie go ahead and try to recap the public comments. I see no problem with the transmittal letter you're talking about, but rather taking the words in the transmittal letter and crafting it into some sort of a report. I, you know, if it has to go in a specific part of the report, that's fine. You still have something you're trying to say. You're just going to have to say it in something other than a transmittal letter. As far as the additional mandates or the additional items that were outlined in the scope of the charter, I don't think that there was any obligation at this point in time to fulfill all of the terms of the charter, but rather the charter allows the group to stay open to deal with those specific issues in the future. That is a decision, I think, that needs to be made at the council level. And I don't think we need to go back to the council to tell the council that we haven't addressed this. It's quite aware. They're quite aware of that. But rather, frankly, I think you have the ability for enhanced communication between the chairman of the council and the chairman of the working group. And if I was Chuck, I'd be posting those that correspondence between you and Roberto and he to the council so that the council has enough background. And my guess is that you'll find some sort of emotion or action out of one of the constituencies in the council to deal with those issues. I see that as the most practical way of handling that aspect of it. That's just my two cents worth.
Thanks, Ken. I'm noting Christina's comment disagreeing with that. Let me try and hit a lot of these points. In terms of transmittal letter versus page in the report, I don't really have an issue. We could certainly put it in the front of the report instead of in a transmittal letter. In terms of comments, public comments, I think that the comments certainly need to go into the report. They need to be summarized, and they need to be acknowledged. But I think it also needs to be acknowledged that this group, I think the phrase you used, Margie, was whether these comments changed the nature of the consensus that the group came to, and I think we just need a statement close by that that says we didn't arrive at consensus on this, and thus we much appreciate these comments, but they didn't get us any closer. In terms of phase two is really the original charter. Phase two hasn't been started because right after the original charter got written, we dropped phase one in to respond to the kind of crisis that the board presented us. And so as a result, the way that it strikes me is that we haven't started on our charter, never mind finished. And the question I think that we need to take back to the council is, A, is that charter now moot? And if it's not, you know, get a decision on that. If the charter is not moot, which I expect is the case, I expect that, you know, there still is work to be done, then the other question is, when should we start? And one possibility is right away. Another possibility would be to wait until the impact, well, first until the board decision is known, and then second, you know, you could also wait until first round applications have been submitted to see what kinds of impacts happened and what we could learn. But again, I don't think that anybody is proposing that the charter has been completed at this stage of the game. The question is what to do next. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I want to disagree with one thing you just said. You said that we dropped phase one in and worked on that, and we didn't work on the charter. In fact, we didn't do that. We dropped phase two in, because from the point of view of most of the participants over the early summer months when there was the most work going on, most people were talking about this is the long-term solution. We don't just want a phase one solution. And I think that's where we fell down, to be, you know, from personal opinion. It wasn't that we, you know, the last sprint because of the board ultimatum was phase one again. But the bulk of our talk actually was, in fact, from the perspective of many of the participants, the phase two, the long-term solution, which people wanted to be in place from the first round. So, and you know, I think that's one of the areas that got us to go astray. Thank you.
Could be, but this is where we find ourselves.
Oh, I wasn't disagreeing. I'm just saying it.
I mean, you
I
know, if
I don't think
in
it
fact,
was because
we've done
we did
phase two,
one.
Then I'm going to say, hot damn, let's shut this baby down.
Well, we didn't, but we were working towards that direction for some of the time.
So. Ken, is that a new hand or leftover?
Yes, it is. I just want to respond to Christina. I agree with her. I don't think it's our discretion to pick and choose what charter tasks we accomplish, but I can say this, and that is we can inform the GNSO or the council what charter tasks we have been able to accomplish and ask them if they want to re-clarify the charter or recharter the working group to deal with the perception of how we would best move forward that in some sort of synchronous with the ICANN process on TLD expansion, as well as dealing with contract renewals for existing TLDs in the future. I think that might very well be something that the council really needs to take a close look at, because there is a lot of concern about how do you get clarity on current contractual relationships with ICANN. I mean, the contracts stand on their own, but at the same point in time, clearly in the future, ICANN may very well decide that it may try to do something different with the existing, with the incumbents. And how do we deal with that other than what is outlined in the current contracts, you know?
Yeah. And Volker, just to clarify, the term that I would use on this report is phase one final report, not working group final report, to acknowledge the fact that we've got two phases to our work. But we do need to make this report that we've got out there that's an interim one, a final one, just to wrap it up. You know, this is like Night of the Living Dead, the zombies coming out of the backyard. I mean, we got to stop this thing. This is like, you know, it could go on forever otherwise. And so I think we really need to say this is the end of this phase and draw a line on. Taming zombies, there's a challenge. Okay, so that's where I find myself. Just to restate, what I would like to try to do is take a listen to the MP3, come up with that page, figure out where it goes in the report, probably in front of the executive summary or something like that. Acknowledge Margie's points about we need to get the comments in. Because the comments were to the initial report, so we need to get the summary in. And I think we need another paragraph that introduces them and sets them in context and says, look, they don't really change the lack of consensus. There was no stroke of lightning that immediately got us to consensus and bridged the gaps. And then a discussion of the next steps. So, I think that's where I'd like to leave it. I'd really like to set the goal of getting that done, the draft done fairly quickly, a discussion on the list, and wrap it up next week on the call, just to get this thing tied off with a bow. I'm not sure we can hit that date, but within a week or two, so that we're not dragging people along an hour at a time, week after week, not really moving the ball much, and then get it back to the council. So that's my plan, and I'm sticking with it unless you yell at me. Roberto, do you have anything to add on top of that before I sign us off?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks, gang. That's the plan, and look for a draft on the list probably in a day or two. I've got surgery coming up tomorrow, but later in the week we'll have something out. See if we can get this finished off. That's it for me. Anything for anybody else? Going once, going twice? Okay. See you in a week. Thanks, gang.
Thanks, Mikey.